According to a report, American office workers estimate that 51% of their day goes to, quote, busy work.
Half of the day.
Like reading and writing emails, data entry, searching for files, and pulling teeth to get the materials needed for your tasks. There's also calendars, meetings, reports, troubleshooting aging technology, and filling out forms like timesheets and expense reports, which is busy work, but some of that's got to be done.
Yeah, you got to do
it. Most of it, yeah. You got to have it. You got to have a smooth running operation, and that's the way to do it. Well, it isn't just boring and annoying. 85% of workers say repetitive tasks trigger stress about four times per week and are a top driver of burnout. Unfortunately, meetings themselves probably won't be eliminated by artificial intelligence, but there could be solutions to some of the other things on our wish lists.
Mm-hmm.
25% of us want better data management. 19% want help dealing with emails. Another 18% say automated form filling would help. 17% want better ways to organize files. And it's possible that AI could help with that. But a lot of folks saying there's just too much busy work.
Yeah, now, even AI doesn't want to deal with that.
I think you and I probably look into that and maybe get AI to figure out how we can eliminate some of the busy work we have around here. I noticed that you and I are constantly trying to figure, well, we got to look busy because we have nothing to do, right?
Hmm.
I had a boss one time who told me, he says, you know, look busy. I like it when I see people looking busy. If you're not doing anything, you know. I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of time in my work day, and you don't either.
Nope.
When we're doing any, you know, we're not filing. We're not. Everything we do is aimed at what we do, and it's pretty well, I think, very efficient the way we do it. I have one thing that I don't call this busy work because it's crucial to the operation. I have a little thing that on the issue show that we do every weekend.
Yes.
You have to document that, what the content is, who the guest was, so that the Federal Communications Commission, we get a report every month, every 3 months we do the report, but it's tracked every Sunday. Lump 3 months together, send it to the FCC or to our home office or whatever. And it's on file so that you can read it, but it's something that I've done throughout my career.
You've had to do that for a long
time. Somebody at radio stations, I presume other stations are doing it. I don't know. We're doing it here for our five stations. And the thing is about the FCC log is that I've never had any indication that anyone has ever looked at it beyond folks in our company.
In decades.
No, in over 50 years, I have never had an indication that the FCC has ever looked at that. It is content. And the idea there, by the way, is at one time the rules were that you had to get together with other broadcasters and have meetings with leaders of the community. You'd have these meetings and they would assess, they would tell you what the problems of the community are. Then it was your job as radio stations and television stations to go out and meet those needs in your program.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Kind of went away a few years ago when they said, we just want you to try to make as much money as you can.
Yeah, that seems to be the...
Don't get bogged down with any kind of community responsibility there. So anything you see like that is basically, we're just dotting the final I for the FCC. Yeah, there you go. Busy work, though. No, we don't do much of that. And no, most of our folks don't either, that I can see.
No, people are pretty busy around here.
Yeah, busy, not looking busy.
Not.
We are busy. All right, Steve and Ted in the morning. By the way, this is Steve and Ted show number 7,030.
Yes, and counting.
Yeah, and every one of those shows has been pretty busy. Ted, interesting interview with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty yesterday on this meeting they're having today about KDOT and infrastructure and highways and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Hey, he said something I didn't realize. For one thing, as you know, he said that the canal route, which about, you know, some of our people are listening right now, they're on the canal route, right? Going north
every
and south
day,
through the city, I-135.
Every day, all the way from the north side of town to the south side.
And I have noticed that at least the surface of that roadway is pretty rugged.
It's
in
pretty
places.
Crummy in a lot of places. But the thing's 50 years old.
Yeah. And he's saying that, I don't know what to say, we would have to just go in and redo the whole thing because he says the infrastructure is crumbling.
not surprising.
That would be
after 50 years.
It's a 6-mile bridge, and there's a lot that has to be done. Oh, so that's one of the things. One of the things they may be talking about here today. Also, you're talking about the what do you call it, the expressway or the loop out on the west side. Now we've got 235 of going around.
Yes,
but then you got to go out several more miles to be another loop going around. They talked about that for years.
Well,
from like Mays down to Goddard.
Still in theory, yes.
Yeah, and he says he thinks that's going to happen in our lifetime. That part of the town is really growing out west.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just thought it was very interesting some of the comments that Ryan Beatty had yesterday. Don't think much about our highways. I tell you, that surface is that high. I-135 though. It's always being worked on from the South Texas, wherever it starts in the South, clear through Dallas-Fort Worth and here, or Columbus City, clear on north. It's always being worked on. That 35 corridor.
It's a big
wow
conduit for economy, for trucks.
Yeah, the national economy.
We're getting anything north and south right through the middle of the nation. That's
I-35,
I-135.
Shipping goods, it's like the old Mississippi River used to be back in the mm-hmm. day. Everything goes north-south through there and through here. There you go.
Well, we've made some nice developments. We finally got that west side junction rebuilt, and it's nice now. Thing at I-235 in Kellogg was bad for many years.
Yeah, I used that pretty frequently over the years. And that little tight going up,
that was
going
awful.
Eastbound, you go up in this little tight little clover leaf up to, and then you're coming onto a busy highway.
Terribly designed.
Terribly designed.
For as much traffic as it
scary.
Ended up holding.
So, scary.
They finally redid that. We're finally getting towards the end of the North Junction.
Yeah.
And all that construction up there being finished.
I think
it's in pretty short order. But. Yeah. Now we need to look to the next thing.
Next thing. And they're meeting. I think it's the Hughes Metroplex they're meeting today. All right. Where you drive makes a big difference in how your commute goes.
Well, it helped comparing the 100 largest cities across 30 key indicators of driver friendliness in the new national study and looked at average gas prices to annual hours and traffic congestion. At the top of the list, Corpus Christi, Texas. The city not only has the most well-maintained bridges in the country, it also ranks as the third cheapest in gasoline cost. Number two, Greensboro, North Carolina. Traffic not bad there. They rank second in fewest amount of time spent in congestion. Boise, Idaho, Scottsdale, Arizona, and Laredo, Texas rounding out the top five. The worst city to drive in, by the way, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Especially poor marks in commute times, road quality, and driver safety. John Saucier, Fox News.
Using pot to fix potholes. Michigan is implementing an additional marijuana tax to fund road repairs.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer signing into law a 24% wholesale tax on marijuana products. Now part of the state's budget, the tax is expected to bring in about $420 million in revenue a year, which will go towards the state's annual $1.8 billion road funding plan. Michigan's cannabis industry leaders have been speaking out against the measure, saying it will lead to higher costs for buyers and leading some to purchase products on the black market. But Whitmer has made fixing the state's roads a priority. The Democrat saying in a statement, "When I took office, I made a promise to fix the damn roads so Michiganders could get where they're going faster and safer." Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.